Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Jill.
Why'd you pull out in front of me like that?
Oh, boy. There's a lot of that going on, isn't there?
Oh, but don't even get me started. I everyone who knows me, or you can check with my Californian brother who is, once I caught him swearing a blue streak because of someone, and I said, hey, that's my, that's my department.
Excuse me. As your department. So he took over your rage for a minute. Yeah, it is getting worse. And I think out here in California, part of the reason it's getting worse, and I suspect this might be in some other parts of the country too, is that there's a lot of construction going on thanks to the housing boom that I think is maybe a bubble that may be bursting soon. But you didn't hear that from me, but thanks to things like the housing boom, offices are being built, streets are being blocked off, neighborhoods are being created, and it's making normal traffic into bad traffic, and it's making bad traffic into terrible traffic, and people are just really, you know, feeling overwhelmed and put upon and horrible, and our tempers are short. And where before, when you see those arrows pointing to, okay, this is narrowing down to one lane, people would just sort of sigh and roll their eyes and go, fine, you go, then I'll go, then the person after me will go, then the person after him will go. It's just like, nah, screw it, I got to get to work, I'm not letting you in, which causes the person who's trying to merge into traffic to become more desperate or more rude, depending on how you look at it. And so we're seeing more accidents, or I'm seeing more accidents on my way to work. Not horrible accidents, but fender benders that make traffic worse. And I think if we go back to the way it used to be when I was a little kid, where people were just a little more patient and realized, yeah, okay, this guy's got to get in somewhere. Scoot in here, dude, and then let's get on with our lives. We'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sorry to sound old, but the whole civility, the whole community aspect, you know, my favorite, it is your affair when your neighbor's wall is on fire, which I think was Horace. People have become in their own way so taught, T-A-U-T, that it's just, it's really hard to get out of that tautness enough to just let the person go.
Well, and I think they're also feeling so, we don't really have control of so much that happens to us in life now, that this is one of the few things we can control, so damn it, I'm going to take control, and I'm going to plow through here, and nobody's getting ahead of me. You know, if we felt like if you voted, your vote would be counted, or if you, you know, wrote to customer service, they actually paid attention to you, then maybe it would put us in the frame of mind to go, yeah, you know, go ahead. But because we feel like everybody's taking advantage of us, that if this is one instance where we can be the person who sort of stands up for ourselves, then that's what we're going to do.
And I, while it's understandable, you know, I'm of the old Kill Them With Kindness Club. You know, I'm from the Kill Them With Kindness Club. Just,
yeah, I'm at the point now where I'm just saying kill them.
I understand. But you and everybody else. I mean,
yeah.
And that's the thing. It's understandable. Even the most, look, it's totally fair to be at the, how many people do you let go through and then only to get an inch ahead and have someone not let you in? Like, how many times does that, there's a saturation point at which it's, you know what, why am I the patsy here?
Right. I remember years and years ago when I was on tour with the first edition of our etiquette book, Basic Black, we went on a talk show in New York where they had some people kind of be our etiquette guinea pigs, if you will, who were on stage with us, and we were sort of, they had questions. And one of them was a young woman. She couldn't have been more than about, you know, 23, 24. And she said, why do I have to wait until the door opens on the subway or wait until people get out in order to go in? I don't think that's fair. And I said, you don't think it's fair? Why? And she said, because they're coming out. I should be able to go in at the same time. And I said, but you do realize that that makes going in longer and more difficult. And she basically said, look, where I come from, you take care of yourself first because nobody's going to take care of you. So you push your way into the subway so nobody will take advantage of you, and maybe you get a seat. And I thought, that's an interesting perspective, because I would think if you can see that the cars have cleared out, there are plenty of seats, and you don't have to break your neck to get to one. But from her lived experience, she felt as if you don't get it now, you know, if you don't reach
you don't
for
grab
the sausages on the plate on the table, if you don't go through the door first, if you don't take, you know, the last juice that's in the refrigerator because who knows when they're going to restock it, then you're just dumb. And she did not like feeling like she was in that position. And I'm wondering if some people who maybe, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, would have let the car clear out before you walk into it, sort of stood in an orderly line to get onto the airplane, whether now they're just like, screw it, there's no order anymore, I'm going to just do what I do, which,
yeah,
of course, makes it even more disorderly.
Which, of course, makes and that's the bit that needs to be pointed out. It's, you know, instead of saying, hey, that's bad manners, it's probably more relevant to say, look,
you're just going to be worsely in about 2 minutes,
yeah,
about 30 seconds.
If you haven't done yourself any favors. Yeah, and perhaps just in the update of life, it is worth that is worth saying. You know, also there's another element that is an overlay, and it's happened literally in the city twice. Now, I admit that I'm a party to this because I don't get out of the way, but when people are walking someplace, looking down, or with their phone sort of implanted in their face, and they're bearing down at speed, I'm very, you know, I tend to put myself in their way just because I find
it. You want people to bang into you?
Well, you know, it's better than, I think, tripping them. No, because
that's true.
Because that's the other thing. I could, you know, the Hospital for Special Surgery could have even more business. And I could just basically be sued constantly. But I still believe that the physical body has enough. It's sort of like the dogs and cats with whiskers and antenna. You know, at some point, you feel prior to smacking into someone that there's an obstacle. Or so far, my unscientific testing has proven that. Because last minute, people tend to look up and go, oh, terribly sorry.
Yeah.
But the fact is that there's a decided, and this goes back to Walkman, when you had, like, in that, when you were sort of in your own pods and you just were paying no attention because you couldn't hear anything. And then, of course, a bunch of bike messengers were wearing headphones and kind of didn't hear the bus pulling out in front of them, which is never good.
Mm-hmm.
But forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, where's the responsibility?
Yeah.
Don't get me started. But the fact is, people, now that they are just, their universe is actually in what they've got in front of their face, it does become harder to make the case that, hey, if you just, you know, looked up a little bit, maybe you would see what you could do here.
Although I think there's one exception to that, which is long lines at the bank, the grocery store, you know, waiting to board the plane.
Oh,
even.
Sure.
People are, you know, understandably impatient, makes them cranky. You know, back in the day, they used to actually talk to other people online, have a conversation, and then, you know, break it off and start putting their stuff on the conveyor belt, and life went on. now they tend to look at their phones while they're waiting, so they feel like they're not wasting their time, and they're not crazed by the time they get to the cashier because they've been doing something while they wait. I think that it's the, you know, we're not doing anything. We're just, our time's being wasted because this isn't going fast enough. But okay, I'll catch up with my email. I'll send my mom a little note. I'll see what's on YouTube. You know, that kind of stuff. It makes time go faster, apparently. And I haven't seen anybody look up and go, what is going on with this express line? I'm in it because it's supposed to be express. They're all looking at their phone.
Right.
And so that's the silver lining, but I don't think you should be doing that while you walk, and certainly not, as I've seen more and more and more and more, while you drive. That, you know, if traffic is inching forward, it's tempting to sort of check all your email while traffic's inching forward. But if the guy in front of you stops short and you're still inching forward, you're going to bang his bumper, and there's going to be an unfortunate chain reaction, and then we're all going to be late for work. You know, when you're at a stoplight, I can see it. But when traffic is actually supposed to be moving, that's a fluid situation, and so maybe not. You know, I don't have as much of a problem with it when people are standing in line in the jetway waiting to board an airplane because you're not driving and you can't do too terribly much damage. And, you know, the worst that can happen is somebody will tap you on your shoulder and go, hey, lady, you know, the way is clear. Why don't you move up so we can all get in? But other than that, it's like, yeah, don't do that. Which brings us back to road rage. And I think part of why people are doing this is because they feel like their time's being wasted. They can't control it. And so they can't control the outside world and how the outside world wastes our time. And so they figure, okay, fine, we're going to do it this way. And we'll use up some of that time, and then we won't feel so stupid. But we still don't feel great when we plow into the back of somebody else's car because we weren't paying attention.
Not to mention the fact that fender benders are, you know, great. They're not smash-ups, and they don't require necessarily hospitalization. But they're certainly...
They do require money to fix.
They require money to fix, and they are certainly inconvenient. And then they end end up slowing everything, you know.
I know, I was going to work yesterday, and I thought, what is this? Everything was backed up, and it turns out that there was indeed a fender bender. Somebody was turning left. Somebody else didn't see them, and so, bam, they're in the middle of, you know, four lanes of traffic. Police cars pull up to see if everything's okay, so they're blocking some of the clear lanes, and we're all just kind of
watching
into one line, inching forward, throwing resentful eyeballs at the people who couldn't pay enough attention to not get in the fender bender. And that was at the beginning of the day, and it just kind of ruined everybody's day going forward.
Yeah, and it has, it's not, nothing quite like it. We were on our way back up from the city the other day, and somebody was just going incredibly slowly, and it was honk, honk. And then we realized, well, you know, the guy was actually, his car wasn't running. You know, he's like, and so, but what was really cool is it was in a construction area, and, we offered to push him, and he was like, oh, no, no, it's really okay. And Marshall sort of moved up and just sort of gently pushed him, and he got off the road in a much more easily than he would have doing it himself. But it was all...
And the road was clear, and everybody was okay, and it's because somebody stopped to help.
Right. But the point was, with a little bit of communication and friendliness, like, it started out like, what the heck? But once everyone just sort of made eye contact and it was like, oh, you've got a problem. We can help. You know, it just made everything better. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not lashing out points so much as I'm saying, well, just check. You know, it could be that the guy is, oh, you mean the car doesn't move. That's different.
Your auto is busted. Yeah. Let me see if I can help you out. As opposed to, you're sitting there in traffic and you haven't noticed because you're looking at your phone. The traffic has moved on, so you're holding all the rest of us back.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the Right Thing.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right.
Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.